have my special guest in the studio, and this has been really an interesting journey finding out about Junior's. Like, he's got this big smile. It's just so cool. Junior Dredd is here with Ben Brody, and they've been doing some amazing international things, and I wanted to talk to Junior first about coming from São Paulo in Brazil, right?
Yes, first thing, greetings, Cindy. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I live in São Paulo, born and grew. São Paulo, it's the big city of Brazil.
When did you start playing music there?
I was 16, and my father is a musician too. All my family from church, you know, Christian back. And then music is always around, you know, more spiritual. And then as I got, you know, older, I just started to listen to different songs, and I got passionate about reggae music, the message. And then I just find out my friends likes too, so we just start the band, and from that, here we are.
So I don't think a lot of people really understand the real roots. I mean, you understand, of course, if you love reggae, Bob Marley. But the roots of reggae and the philosophy and the beliefs of reggae, and I know you embrace peace,
yeah.
The whole idea of what, if you really listen to the lyrics and the real roots of reggae, yeah, are very, very deep.
Yeah, because it helped me a lot, because I was born in a real tough area, you know, like ghettos, they call favela. And back then there is a lot of poverty, a lot of bad things that you have to overcome just to make a living, you know. So there was difficult times where you don't have nobody, really, you don't have support from the government, nothing, you know, you don't have no jobs and nothing to be inspired by. So music becomes like, you know, the main thing to give you strength, because, and that's the beautiful thing about reggae music, it born from on a small country, you know, where they have to deal with a lot of racism, you know, slavery. And even with all of that, they create this special music that talk about love and unity. And it becomes like one of the greatest style of songs, you know. So it's very powerful. And I felt that when I was young. And this music with what really made me travel the world, be able to know people like you and be here now. So I really appreciate, you know, and respect the roots of this music, that it's all about love and unity and equal rights and justice. And, yeah.
And on top of that, when you do these concerts, the people going are going for a lot of those purposes as well, you know, so you're able to share that message through music in an amazing way. I mean, you're getting that, there's a magic that happens when you're singing in a group and there's a concert happening.
True.
You've seen it, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
I got to see Bob Marley.
Really?
Play. Oh yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I used to work at K Rock in Los Angeles and
nice.
Burbank, and he played up in Burbank. And
okay.
The magic when Bob Marley played was it wasn't just his singing; it was his aura, it was his energy, it was the energy field he created, because his energy field was so strong that he brought that energy of love into everything he did, and that's what people just rode on that wave. I mean, you know, it was like, wow, you know.
It's great.
And so, you know, that's been carried on, of course, through all of his family and everyone else that's been going through that.
Yeah.
But at that time, you know, he wasn't as wealthy, famous, right, in the early days. It happened a lot later, right?
Yes.
And there was a lot that happened, of course, as you all know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you did your thing there in São Paulo first, you were doing it kind of without the experience of understanding the way the business works or anything works. So you had to really kind of fly blind getting into that thing where you're starting to grow and then get signed, right?
True. That's why I have to, you know, be inspired by different people, you know. We have some musicians that live by our neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Like I got, you know, my father play on church, so I borrowed the guitar to rehearse with the boys. And we didn't have no music teaching. So we have to play what we listen and try to get it locked with the song, you know, make it, you know, perfect. And when those people, do like this big band from Brazil, Tribo de Ja, saw us playing, we was playing good because we spent a lot of time just trying to get that sound perfect, right?
Yeah.
Solid. So they say, oh, look at this boy. They are young. They can see we don't have no money. No, man, we must help them. So they brought us to their label, and then we just start to open for 2,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people sometimes. Mm. Like every weekend, you know.
And they helped you travel around Brazil and go
travel
to
around
places?
Brazil. Yeah, it was in 2003, and then I just find out that, man, it's hard to have a band, right? And everybody, you know, sometimes don't work right. So
could
I just,
it be ego sometimes?
Yeah.
Gets in
so
there? Yes.
Yeah, and for me, music is not about really money or fame. To do what I do, I must be really, you know, real for what I'm feeling. And I felt like even though we were traveling and playing on those big concerts, I was not feeling good with myself, with my friends. You know, we worked together, we were making money, so money was not the problem. So it's really feel like the energy. And then I decided to split and start to doing my own thing. And then was when I started to invest more on the international market. So then MySpace came. I started to send message to different producers, musicians, and then I record and got my a vinyl. I have 22 vinyls, right, with different producers from all over the world. And then I did my first tour to Japan.
So those 22 vinyls. You recorded where? Where were you recording all that stuff?
Well, a lot of them I record in Brazil, the vocals.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then because some producers produce nowadays, like, you know, internet, you can get like a drummer from Jamaica sending the files.
Oh,
and
we
kind of do this way. I send the vocals, you got some musicians, sometimes some producers, they do all the instruments. So. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
So through all this, now people listening, a lot of people love Brazil. It's been very, very hard traveling to Brazil in the last year, 2.5 years with COVID. I don't even know what the restrictions are now, but it's been difficult. But I know Brazil's a very popular place to go to. Yeah. But a lot of people don't get to experience the beauty of Brazil. So where would you recommend in Brazil?
Yeah.
You're lovely. We were talking about how you have places with waterfalls and beautiful places to go. A lot of people don't get to see that side of it. Just like when they come here, not a lot of people get a chance to experience the other side of here, right? That a friend would tell you about because it's kept secret, right?
Sure.
But do you have any special places you'd recommend to people that you found spiritual spots that are really beautiful?
Yeah, all over Brazil, because that's the thing. I asked this same question. Right, and I find out that it's because the government of Brazil, when they because they have a money to invest on tourism, right?
Oh, yeah,
to promote it, they don't promote Brazil in America.
No,
it's like a very, 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 very small amount, you know.
Yeah.
They are more focused on people from South America, right? So,
I wonder why. Oh,
yeah, it's because maybe it's because of the cost of the advertising, those kind of thing, you know, and then. But in Brazil, we have some, because Brazil is too big, and we are so mixed, because you can look like a Brazilian, me and him, because we are very mixed people.
I don't think I look too much like a Brazilian.
No,
really?
If you go to the south part,
at
the south part, at the south part of Brazil, it's just, we have a lot of German type of communities, right?
So where's the south part of Brazil you're talking about? What cities?
Santa Catarina, Florianópolis. Like, they have a lot of blondie girls,
really?
Boys, and they mix with...
See, I wouldn't have known that. Interesting.
Yes, the south part. And then up the north part, it's more got people from Holland.
Holland, really?
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
With green eyes. It's funny. Really. Yeah. And in Bahia, you got more Africans. So
it's an interesting blend of a lot of different things. So what's your favorite part of Brazil?
Well, each part have this own energy, right?
Yes,
I was born in São Paulo, so back then I was a city boy. Now I live on the beach, because when I had like 17, I started to surf and, you know, like the vibe. So I want to be around nature. So I left the city on the pandemic. When the pandemic started, I just said, yo, we don't have no tours. I'm better go, you know, some nature. I don't want to stay in the city. So, yeah, but I would go for Rio, because Rio, you can get like the tourist type of, you know, like real tourists that you see on the magazines and thing. But you can also have some real vibes, like country vibes, like some.
I never thought of Rio as country vibes.
Yeah, but you have it. That's the thing about Brazil, because even though we have some big city, it's like you drive a 1 hour, you can be on the like the hills.
Really?
Yeah. You have a part of Rio that is very up, just like Kula here.
I can't Kula, up in the hills. Yeah.
Same thing.
Wow, I wouldn't have known that. Yeah. I would not have guessed that.
And when you go, and that's the thing, some people think that it's kind of violent, but it's not really on this. It's
it
some
does
special,
have a bad rap.
Yeah, it's
people do
on
say
the people.
That there's a lot of violence and. You know, I mean, it's like you can have one or two incidents, but hey, you know, we have incidences here and we have incidences everywhere, you know. Yeah. But you can have one or two things that happen, you know. Mm-hmm. But everyone thinks of it as the big parade, the dancing, the wild parties. I mean, but there's a lot, I'm sure, a lot more to Brazil than that. There's the food, right? Mm-hmm. There's the culture, right?
Yes.
There's the concerts.
Yes.
And there's the clubs, right?
Yes, yes.
It's a night city, huh?
In São Paulo, yes. Yeah, there you can, kind of like New York, you can find anything. Like if you want to eat Japanese, you know.
Like anything.
Three time at night, you can find it. So.
And do they have good Jamaican food?
No, they just have one spot.
You're
for Jamaican
kidding.
Food.
Yeah, just one Jamaican place?
That's the whole São Paulo, that's hard. Yeah.
I
you don't have too
so
many
surprised.
Jamaicans there.
Wow.
But you have Jamaicans in the north part, San Luis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like kind of a Caribbean type of vibe.
You've been to Jamaica?
Not yet.
You haven't been to Jamaica?
Yet. I travel a lot. You
oh,
know,
my
but
gosh.
Every time I travel.
Go to Negril.
To work.
Yeah. Good clubs, good music. Negril's
really,
beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's
okay,
very, very
when
nice.
When I book my flight there, I'm going to send you a message. And
great food.
Tell me where
great,
I need to
great
go.
Food. It's amazing. Yeah. It's really quite amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think this next year I'm going to be there.
You've got to go to Jamaica.
Yeah, of course.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you're leaving actually here tonight, and you're going to go do some other gigs. Where are you going to?
Yeah, I have show in Minneapolis, and then we fly to Boston, and from Boston, Brazil. Maybe, I don't know, something.
So what are you doing in Boston?
We're going to play at one night there. Just
oh, Ben would know.
At the Bills Bar.
Bills Bar, yeah.
Yes.
Bills Bar, yeah.
Uh-huh.
What's that? The Bills?
Bills Bar.
Bills
yes.
Bar. Bills Bar?
Bills Bar.
Is it a club? Oh, it's a bar.
It's a bar. That's
see, he's Ben's from New Zealand. So when he says Bills Bar, he's not really saying Bills Bar.
No.
He's saying Bills Bar.
Yeah.
I got it.
That's my Kiwi accent coming through there.
Had you two met before? Yes. Yes, you did, because of what happened in, you did a big gig in Minneapolis, a street party,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. This whole thing that comes up, it was amazing. It's amazing because I got this friend, Scott, and we became friends because he's a promoter too. And I played in Minneapolis, and he told me about those guys in Hawaii. And after a while...
those guys in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Was that the Deep Green Genetics, or what group was it? Because you have a couple levels to what the group
you're
working with.
Correct. Mostly what we're talking about here is the Earth Dance Global team that are based out here in Maui and Hawaii. And that's the link that we have, and that's how we met. And we met in Minneapolis and got to watch Junior perform on stage for the first time, and amazing.
And then we become family now.
So it was a big, was it a full big concert with lots of musicians and different groups and things?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Very internationally orientated. A lot of Jamaican artists were there. A lot of local sound systems were represented.
Wow.
And all of these artists got to play on those sound systems, and it was a fantastic event. Yeah, and then Junior came out here, and he's been here with me and my family and the Earth Dance team for the last 3 weeks.
Well, you have a fascinating story. You're from New Zealand, and you came here to Hawaii right before COVID, right?
Very much, literally.
Were you just coming to visit, or were you...
Well, I met my wife, Katie, in New Zealand, and we were there with my daughter, and we basically decided, hey, let's go out to Maui. We'll be there for 3 to 6 months and see how we go, and maybe we'll move. And literally 6 days after arriving on Maui, the pandemic came down. And yes, we haven't been able to get home since. You know, now the borders are open and we could, but we've decided that this is home now. And Katie and I are now married, and we have a young boy, Koa.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
All in the course of 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. So we're very blessed and very lucky to be here and working with the Earth Dance Global team and getting opportunities to work with artists. It's amazing.
I know that Earth Dance Global team is committed to peace, which I am very committed to as well. And it's going to be very big. September 21st is International Peace Day. It's on a Sunday. And this is coming up soon, folks. And you're going to be doing a global event on that day, right?
Correct. Yes. So Earth Dance is one of the largest sort of synchronized global events that there is. It's been going now for 25 years. And it's been over 1,000 locations in 80 countries.
1,000 locations?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you coordinate 1,000 locations? I mean, it's hard enough trying to handle a few, you know, like 4 or 5, but how do you handle 1,000 locations?
Well, exactly. That was spanning over the 25 years. So that is the history of Earth Dance. This year, we have 8 to 10 different Earth Dance events that are happening globally. We've got New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, you know, lots of these different places.
And you're going to be here for it.
We'll be here for it. So mm-hmm. September 17th is the organized prayer for peace that we have.
You have that on your phone. You were just telling me about that.
Yes.
What is that? How does that go? And who wrote this?
So this was the Earth Dance founders who wrote this. And this is basically the core principles of the whole movement.
And how does it go?
Would you want me to read it out?
Sure.
Sure. We are all one global family, all colors, all races, one world united. We dance for peace and the healing of our planet Earth, peace for all nations, peace for our communities, and peace within ourselves. As we join together across the world, let us connect heart to heart through our diversity. We recognize unity through our compassion. We recognize peace. Our love is power to transform our world. And let us send it out now.
Yes. And what was the great line from Jimi Hendrix? When man loves... it says, I have to look it up. The power is... When man overcomes the love of power and has the power of love, then we'll find peace, I think, is the line.
Yes.
Do you know that quote from Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful quote.
Powerful.
We know that... I know you know, you know, I know. Music is one of the wonderful tools to help bring peace to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, balance, right, the energy. I really think that in music it's very powerful because music is sound, and sound, it's a frequency that vibrates
absolutely
on a level. And they find out that through vibration, it can organize matter. You saw this, the cymatics. You saw where they put some type of vibration or sound, and it organized like the salt on the platform.
It absolutely does. Yeah.
So music have a very special energy, just like words and sound.
Yeah. Music has a frequency, and the frequency also has a color. We know that sound has a color that resonates with each sound. We know that our vibrations and energy in our mind also vibrate with that sound, especially when you have a boom box going really loud next to you. But absolutely, it's all energy and frequencies. And so when the more people, especially on the power of having so many people on one day dedicated to trying to do that, and it brings about wonderful energy that helps transform the world, which we need so much, you know. But, you know, if you don't have it within, if you do not have that peace inside, no matter what you say, you're going to get your buttons pushed till you figure out where those weaknesses and the seams that fall apart. And that's what's happening in the world, you know.
Yeah.
We're seeing what's happening with the divisions, right?
So, and there's also the flip side to that, and taking a moment. Right, and that is what it's all about too, is taking a moment and meditating, you know, and coming together at a global synchronized time and actually stopping.
Right? How do people tune into that on, it's the 17th and the 21st, or what is that?
The weekend of the September 17th, and depending on which location, it'll be on different times, but it is a certain time that we can, you know, give you the information for. And a lot of this information is all on our website.
Which is what website?
EarthDanceGlobal.com.
earthdanceglobal.com.
Yes, and there'll be a lot of the events that are live streaming at that time, so you can tune in and actively be part of it on that moment, and maybe even here on the radio. We might start to, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where are you going to be on that day?
I'm going to be in Boston.
In Boston.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Boston's a beautiful city too, huh?
I've never been there. I can't wait.
Oh, my mother was born in Boston, and it took me years to get back there and see it. It's an amazingly interesting community, you know. Mm-hmm. You have all the colleges there, and you have, at the same time, the old school and the Irish influence and all that. You know, it's very interesting. You have some beautiful college towns there and wonderful pubs and things like that, you know, versions of pubs, right, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll find it very interesting. It's a beautiful, beautiful area Boston is. That's one thing about music. I tell you, one of the greatest gifts, if you're like you are, Junior, you get to travel and meet so many people. How do you keep track of all that? Do you try to keep track of people you see around the world? Because I know you made contact with Marty Dread. You just played a gig in Paia with him. And so how do you kind of keep that networking going?
It's crazy, right? Because music just connects us with different people from all over the world. And since I started, I think the most special thing, more than even the places I go, is the people I met.
Yeah.
So, like, now through internet, it's possible, right, to connect.
Yeah.
And some people see it in a bad way, but not for me, really, because I try to get this technology working for me, not the other way, you know.
So, easier said than done.
Yeah.
All you need is an internet outage, right?
Yeah, that's it. Choo choo. But, you know, I try to keep in contact, like, because I'm always traveling. So, like, even though if I don't come to Hawaii, which I expect, like, I come again soon, right? Yeah. I would go like at least, man, three times, more than three times a year, at least just calling and having a chat learning about the business, how they are, the family and everything.
It is a little different here. Did you find it? I'm sure. What did you think, Ben? Because you've been here now 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be very different in Hawaii. Now, I know there's these deep kind of interesting ties that we have with the Maori and New Zealand and here. And I know New Zealand's kickback. So did you find it interesting the way we are versus the way you were? In what town in New Zealand were you from?
Funnily enough, I was actually moved here to Paia from Paihia.
Paia?
Right? So
where's that? Which island?
So that is the top of the North Island, and that would be the most sort of what you'd call subtropical area of New Zealand. It's the very tip of the North Island.
Definitely not a tourist town.
No, we would have, because New Zealand is a beautifully beautiful place with a lot of wildlife. So I was working in the marine industry, and we were taking people out to look at the bottlenose dolphins.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
just like we do here.
That's right.
Yeah,
so we had a very rich, abundant marine life that I was working in. So we did get a lot of tourists coming there.
Uh-huh.
But it was, you know, we're 4.5 hours north of Auckland. So, you know, you do have to make the trek to get up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving to Hawaii wasn't a huge culture shock, to be completely honest, because we live a very outdoors orientated lifestyle in New Zealand, you know, rural towns, and we went to boarding schools, and, you know, it was very, you know, sort of similar to the lifestyle that we live in here in Hawaii, and deeply rooted is the Maori culture. You know, throughout school we learn Maori, and
you it's did.
Very, very into different parts of New Zealand are different. The further north is definitely more, you know, sort of Maori influence.
Come on in, come on in. Hey! Eric Gilliam. Have you met Eric Gilliam before?
Yes.
Have
G'day
you?
Eric, Ben.
Oh, Eric. Ben. We love Eric.
Yes.
Eric is our treasure. He's our Maui treasure here.
Nice.
The guy's broken every single rule you can break in the way you do things here, and he does a little bit of everything. He does music, he does dance, he does Burning Man.
Really?
Burning Man. Oh, Eric is a great musician.
Nice.
I have had a chance to have him do a couple of my songs, sing them, but Eric has done many albums, and he's one of my favorites. So he can produce, he can sing, he can dance, he can perform. He's going to act Rocky Horror Picture Show for like...
I juggle.
He does juggle. Getting close here, Eric, on the mic. Right. Yep.
Cool.
Yep. So, no, Eric is really one of my favorite people on the island. Nice. I was listening, because I have a station I program in Sedona, KUOS, and I was listening this morning, and finishing writing, because I meditate and write every morning, and I'm listening, and what comes on but I'm down in
Honopah.
I just sat there and listened to this beautiful song you did, and you know, it was one of those moments listening to that song on the radio, because he can do all kinds of music, but this is a lovely song that it really captures the feeling of going to a small place and this island, and how you feel that amazing energy of peace and beauty. And
yeah, wrote that song laying in Honopah stream. Just like seriously. It just kind of fell out. But nice. Although the people in Honopah weren't too stoked once the song became like really popular. They're like, dude, all these people are showing up at our freaking front doorsteps here. I'm like, oh, sorry.
So, Erica, this is Ben.
Yeah.
And this is Junior Dredd.
Yeah. All right.
From Brazil. Yes. Who's on tour all around. And Ben now lives here. He's from New Zealand, and he's working with...
Are you guys musicians?
Yes.
All right.
And Ben does marketing, deep green genetics, and sticky finger seeds, and also tied into a wonderful group that ties everyone together with music, which is called...
Earth Dance Global.
Mm-hmm. You'd like what they're doing.
Yeah,
they also have a record label, right?
We used to. We represent different artists now. Oh. So we... Origins Music International, who was William Grinnell, he used to have a booking agency, and now we've merged it together with Earth Dance, who have been around now doing these transformative conscious gatherings for over 25 years over the synchronized prayer for peace that we do every September 17th. And now we represent some amazing artists as well, and help with booking and management, and that's why Junior is out here with us. And
we need people like you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Oh, man. Otherwise, we're just, you know, I don't know what we're doing, but...
Yeah.
Well, I wrote a song called There's a Peace in Paradise, and Eric sang it, did a beautiful job on that one. He does a great job on everything. So I'm going to talk to Eric about Burning Man. You can hang out and listen. Or
have you guys been to Burning Man?
I have.
Not yet.
Yeah. 2017 I was there.
Oh, good.
Yes, it was fantastic and amazing experience.
Nice. Yeah, I just got back a couple of days ago.
How was it?
Yeah. Man, I mean... you know, completely outrageous. I was just showing Jack out there a photo of just one of the many stages. This is Opulent Temple, which maybe you know Opulent Temple, but these guys are so outrageous, man. They're so amazing. That's just one stage, but yeah, Opulent Temple, and they had on that stage they had an amazing band called Infected Mushroom.
Laser beams everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's some of the most, you know, because Burning Man is like, it's just, everything is just so open and free, and like, everything is just like, you know, balls to the walls, and this year was amazing. We had, the conditions were challenging on the last probably 3 days.
We were watching
it live.
Was that
a dust storm that happened? Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, it got really challenging, but you know, you just push through, man, and, but there were some magical moments like that one, man, like, there were so many amazing stages and so many incredible artists. What's that?
How many stages?
Well, I mean, I would say stages at that level right there, there's probably about at least a dozen stages that size.
Dozen?
And so how many
all
people?
All going on at the same time.
Wow.
All happening, all firing, full blast.
How do you to keep up with all those?
You don't. You just go. You do your best, man. You just try to, and there's no advertising when you're there, right? So so you don't really know. It's like word of mouth, and so you're at this stage, and then you see a big artist, and then there's so many people, man. And there's just, you know, there's 2,500 camps, and so
2,500 camps.
2,500 camps.
So did you have your own camp, or did you?
Yeah, we have a big camp. Our camp is Camp Mystic. We're out on the 2 o'clock Esplanade, and we do a big Wednesday night party for about 7,000 or 8,000 people.
Who puts that together? What's the Camp Mystic that you? I never heard of this before with you.
Cindy, this is how long is this show?
I know, really. I mean, because you know. He did a great album, Van Morrison's Into the Mystic. And, of course, I love the Mystic, but Camp Mystic, who's in charge of Camp Mystic, and how did you align with them?
Camp Mystic is a 22-year veteran camp. It was founded by Jonathan Udis, my good buddy who now lives here on Maui. And We're a big camp. We're 240 people this year.
Tribal.
But we do, you know, we do a real special Wednesday. We build a huge theater, a big, beautiful white theater, white carpet, and we get amazing DJs. We get, like, the human experience and a lot of sort of high conscious. We're a kind of a high conscious camp, high vibration camp, like less of more of like a party camp, although we party. But it's good people. We our Wednesday night party was about probably over 7,000 people this year.
My gosh. And you all fit in that. Is it an outdoor stage? It must be.
The whole thing is outdoors, man. Yeah. The whole thing is outdoors. Our theater is sort of indoors, but there's just people cycling through all night long.
How do you organize with so many people to get things done, like your equipment and all that? I just have to do that way in advance, or else you can't do it once people come, right?
It's, you know, the principles of Burning Man is radical self-reliance. You just figure it out. You know, you make it happen. You know, that's what the whole festival is about, you know.
I saw a costume you were working on, Eric.
Yeah.
That kind of glowed, and at the same time, it was handmade. Eric also is doing The White Hawaiian, which is a show that he's done that is just enlightened. It's all about how he's had to lose a lot to gain a lot, and more losses than maybe gains, except this performance is him doing singing, dancing.
Nice.
It's an autobiographical show about growing up as a white Hawaiian, growing up here in Hawaii.
Nice.
And so
with video and back that it shows actual history. He plays every single member of his family going back 150 years, about 125 years. And he plays every member. He's found pictures of what his family members wore, women and men, and he's had costumes made to match the picture, which you see in the back in the video that he then wears on the stage.
It's a crazy, kooky story. It's a lot of comedy, but the costume piece she's talking about is that this year, you know, I always try to make one thing for Burning Man, you know, is my art piece. So I made King Kamehameha's Mahi Ole, his big helmet, but I made it out of LEDs, man. The thing was just like, it was
but that's the thing. They go there and they go all on their costumes.
I mean, as an artist, dude, you got to go, dude. You got to go. Wait, where are you from?
Brazil.
Oh, beautiful, man.
It was funny. We were downtown Paia getting ready for Junior's show at the Kava Lounge on Saturday, and we were all huddled around jamming on Maui, and we were listening to the Maui Pranksters, and I had the live stream on my phone.
Oh,
and in that moment, we watched the man burn.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And we were, you know,
tell me about that. What was that like?
You know, I mean, I have mixed feelings about that because I kind of get to the point, you know, because I'm there for 13 days. So I'm there for building the camp. So by the time the burn kind of rolls around, it's kind of like you've seen one fire, you've seen them all, you know what I mean? It's cool. But once they burn, I bail because, I mean, it's just a big fire at the end of the day. And there's a lot of celebration going on. But for me, the Burning Man experience is everything leading up to that. It's like you know, any kind of camp. When you're building the camp and you're with each other and you build relationships and stuff. But once the party starts, you're like, okay, it's cool. You're partying now. But
So how do you get food to everyone? I mean, how many people do they estimate was at Burning Man?
Oh, 80,000.
80,000. How do you handle food? I mean, there was elements.
You handle your own food. Whatever you bring is what you got.
That's it, really?
That's it.
Wow.
We have a big camp, and we hire a catering company, and we're kind of like, we have a beautiful infrastructure. We've been doing it a long time.
This
is my 14th
company.
Year.
Okay.
Wow.
So 14 years. So we got it wired. I mean, we just, you know, we afford ourselves certain luxuries because we're out there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And
but did you want to bail when you started to see? Because you'd already been there a long time. Then this dust storm. What was that? Tell me what that was like. Because, I mean, Brenda out there had, I think her brother or someone went and their face was just kind of like burnt off from the dust storm and the elements and stuff.
I mean, the conditions are challenging, man. It's there's no doubt. I mean, I'm trying to find my mahi ole. I was going to show you guys. You know, it's not for everybody, man. It's, you know, you got to be willing to, you're challenged. I mean, you're like this year, the conditions, like, because it's in the high desert, it's at 3,000 feet. And it's just like when Mother Nature goes, like all of a sudden it's just like, it's just a whiteout, man. And so we had some really rough times, but you know, it's all about perseverance, man. And you push through, and then you every time you push through, and then all of a sudden you come up and some amazing thing happens, or you see some amazing artist, or you have an amazing experience, or you meet somebody cool, or you. It's just.
Is it the longest festival of its kind like that?
I don't know.
13 days is a long. That's a long time.
It's the only. It's a very unique festival, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, 100%.
I call it the mothership of festivals, man, because it's really an art festival with music. Because a lot of people think it's like, I don't know what they think, but it's you know, and the art there is so over the top, man.
It's not big. Just entertainment, right?
You're talking about sculpture and art, like mainly art, right?
Let me put it to you this way. Everything is art. Your art, your hair is art. Everything is art. Everything you look around, everything you touch, everything you climb, everybody is showing up with art. It's all art. The whole thing is art.
Wow. Mm. Okay. But, you know, I'd never thought of it that way. I've talked to a lot of people about Burning Man. No one said it's all art before.
Because the first principle of Burning Man is radical free expression. And people take that, they take it all the way, man. Whatever it is, man. What do you got? What do you want? What do you want to do?
So
who do you want to be?
What did you do? Did you perform?
I don't perform typically at Burning Man, because for me, Burning Man is a place to go to get. I like to get inspired. So, you know, I like to just go and almost be a fly on the wall. I work hard. I help our camp build, but. A lot of times I just go and just watch people do completely mind-blowing shit. So mind-blowing.
And you can't say that on the radio again. But you.
And I just, every time I leave Burning Man, I just walk away. I come home and I'm just like, wow.
So, okay, what was the wow after when you came back and you came away? You say that you get inspired. I mean, inspiration is wonderful, but I like to channel inspiration. You do a lot of that in your show, The White Hawaiian. But where did it take you in inspiration to kind of go a little beyond what you've been doing?
I mean, it happens every time. I mean, that's why I go to Burning Man. I go to Burning Man and I come home and just my creative intuition and my drive is just full. And I'm just like, I just want to write and create and play music and do just our lives. We're artists. This is what we do. And you just, everything we do is creative. And so that's just a place that I go to get inspired.
Yeah.
You know? And
I know every single 3-day weekend that you've done for White Hawaiian is sold out. Next week you do another one. It is next week, right? Yeah. You have it at the Pro Arts, and last I talked to Scott, which I think he's on the road again, it was getting pretty close to sold out. I think you were, what, do you know if you're at 60%?
I think we're
65?
Sold out. I think it's sold out.
Not.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Well, I mean, it's only 100 seats. It's not like
But you've done it like three months. You did it, what, June and July and August, right? So this is now September, and you think you're sold out?
We are sold out.
But Eric,
whatever.
No, I mean
it's a fun show, man.
Okay,
Ben, you haven't been
here that long, but Maui has a long tradition of people not buying tickets in advance.
Sure.
We have a long, long tradition of people showing up and just expecting to get in the day they show up, because that's the way it's been for a long time. Mm-hmm. So to hear, that's why I'm kind of so blown away, because I didn't know it was sold out. Last I'd heard, and I talked to Scott, it was like 60 or 70%, but that was a week or two ago. But I didn't know you were sold out. I'm kind of blown away by that.
Nice. So I mean, now tickets come available. Some do. I mean, somebody just called me today and just said, they got a thing and they can't go. So 3 tickets came available. I mean, there's little things like that. Just call the theater and... Yeah,
ProArtsMaui.com. So let's then, if that's okay, we're not going to promote things where people are going to bang their head against the walls like, oh my God, I missed it again. You are doing Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, I don't know if you have, not Picture Show, the Rocky Horror Show. This is the whole live stage performance, right? And Eric is probably the best you've ever seen in Rocky Horror. And he's doing it as a benefit for this little theater over here, the EO Theater. The EO Theater is almost...
It's a beautiful theater up on Market Street, you know, the EL Theater. Yeah, so it's a very kind of a sacred space as far as I'm concerned. That theater was built in 1952, and Frank Sinatra played there. And it's kind of sort of the jewel of Wailuku.
And they were going to rip it down. Willie Nelson did a benefit. I was at, he pulled up a truck on up street here on Market Street, and he performed. And did Chile, and they raised a ton of money, and they had people bring it back because they were going to rip it down, like a lot of old theaters, right? So yeah, it got saved, and but now again, it's in COVID and hard times. So you kind of get
They went on hard times because the theater is owned by the county. So when the COVID thing hit, the county didn't want the liability, so they were like, shut it down. And so the theater company that's been in there has been really struggling. So I went to them and said, the Rocky Horror Show is a shoe-in, guaranteed, people will come. So we're going to do the show. It opens October 14th, runs for 3 weekends, and it closes on Halloween night. And we're going to raise a bunch of money for that theater, man, and just try to try to keep them going.
I heard Nat, Dr. Nat's going to be playing with you.
Yeah, we've got a, you know, there's Dr. Nat. I don't know if you know Dr. Nat. And
Rio Ritman. He does Latin, salsa. He's
like our only Latin band over here. So, what style of music do you play?
Reggae music.
Oh, reggae music. All right. Cool, man. Well, you're in the right place.
They love reggae music here.
They love it, man. That's great. Yes.
So last I talked to you about Rocky Horror, you were doing auditions. I guess you got all the roles in now and you're rehearsing already?
Yeah. They're already in rehearsal and it's well underway. Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, we're going to try. And so I would just put it out to the community. You know, this is an opportunity to come and really support, you know, Maui Community Theater is one of the oldest community theaters in the country. Mm-hmm. It's been around since the 20s. And, you know, it's a special thing. And that theater is a special place. And so it's an opportunity for the community to come out and really support the arts across the board. I mean, go out and support live music. Go see shows. And we need people to get out and support live entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've been doing a lot with theater for a long time. I mean, your roots go back to when you started in theater. You were a teenager, weren't you?
Yeah.
When you were a teenager, you started doing theater. And you did theater, he tells in his story, he actually got to Broadway for one day. I mean, it was on Broadway.
Well, it was longer than one day.
Was it one day? Oh, okay. In the show, I think you said it lasted one day. But you thought that was going to be your whole thing. And at the White Hawaiian, you can see how great Eric is as an actor. But, I mean, for people who missed out this time, I think you're bringing it back again in November. Are you bringing it back, the White Hawaiian, or is it PAL for now?
White Hawaiian's coming back December, January, February, March in the same theater.
Oh, wonderful.
But we're
going
to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee, and a Sunday night show. We're going to do 5 shows a month.
So people will have a chance still to see you.
Yeah.
That's right, which is pretty amazing, actually, in itself. So you did all this Burning Man thing. You know, did you celebrate your birthday actually at Burning Man?
I do. My birthday is the first day of Burning Man.
Oh, congrats, man. That
was so good.
Nice. So what was your birthday party like, Eric?
What was my birthday party like?
Yeah.
I had 80,000 people show up to my birthday party. It was awesome.
Dusty, but awesome.
I'm lucky that I get to have my birthday at Burning Man. So it was great, man. It was a great year. It had challenges. I actually left a little bit early this year because the conditions were so intense, man. Mm.
Well, getting out of Burning Man at the end would be a challenge. Talking about getting 80,000 people out at one time. Talk about a traffic jam. I was like, what?
Yeah, some friends of mine sat in the line just to get out for 12 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 12 hours?
I always leave a couple of days early because I'm like, I'm in the hotel. I'm like in the jacuzzi just going, hey, man.
Where do you stay? Where do you stay? What hotel do you stay in when you go to Burning Man when you're getting out?
I usually stay at the Grand Sierra, but this year I stayed at the Atlantis, which is cool. They have a better spa. And there was nobody there. It was great. That's when you know how it is when you have a concert or you go to a concert. You're like, I always like – it's like when Prince played here the last time he played here. You know, I knew that when he started Purple Rain, man, I told my posse, I said, when he starts Purple Rain, we're out of here.
I know, in the same way, I get it.
We went down to Hoppe's in Kihei because we knew Prince was going to come there afterwards.
Mm. Oh, did you ever get to play with him? Did you ever get a chance to?
Well, it's funny you should say that because, you know, it's Prince, right? To me, he's the greatest artist of all time.
And that was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
It was amazing, actually, man. Yeah. He came out. I mean, the guy, he has so many hit songs. It was like literally a two-hour medley.
He was amazing on stage. Yeah. I know his songs. I love his songs. But to see him perform.
He played all the instruments too, right? He's wicked.
And I knew he was going to play at this little, used to be a club in Kihei called Hoppe's. And I knew he was going to be there afterwards. So I told everybody, hey, man, I got the inside track. we're going to go down there. And Uncle Willie K, who used to be, I don't know if he was Uncle Willie K, but he was an amazing artist on Maui who has passed. But he was playing at Hapa's. And so we got there early and we got in right away. And the owner, like, shut the place down. And within 45 minutes of the show ending at the Marriott Cultural Center, 1,000 people were in the parking lot over there, all trying to get in.
Wow.
And I was already inside. And so Prince's manager walks in, and he walks up, and I'm sitting next to Uncle Willie K, who was a legend. Yeah. And I'm sitting next to Uncle Willie K, and he goes, which one of you guys is Willie K? That guy, big Hawaiian with big, big afro. He says, hey, man, Prince wants to know if you want to jam with him.
Oh, wow.
And Willie's like, he goes, and what do you want to play? And Willie goes, well, I don't know. It's Prince's show. What does he want me to play? And I was like, so the guy kind of walked away. And then Willie K says to me, and I never forget this. He goes, hey, when Prince calls me up, I want you to go. And I go, okay.
Oh,
man.
My God.
I go, I'm going to go. He goes, yeah, I ain't going. Because Willie was kind of like that. Willie had, that was his way. And so sure enough, Prince comes in. The band starts playing. And he goes, man, where's Willie K? I'm going to get Willie K up here. And I just start to go like
oh
this.
My
and
God.
He just grabs me. No. And he ran up.
Oh, Willie.
And played
almost,
an amazing show with Prince.
Almost.
So I
with him. You almost played. Close as that. Yeah.
Close.
40 feet from stardom. You almost did the backup singing, maybe. Well, that's a great story, and I've never heard that story before.
Yep.
That's an amazing story, and it's not in the show. It's not in the White Hawaiian show, so it's a good one. You know, when we think about this whole thing, we come back from you going there and you knowing what's going on with your group that's doing the whole international thing and you going to Burning Man. We come back to Maui. How does it all, the big, big, big stuff, like how do we translate this to Maui and the changing scene in Maui? Because you grew up here, you were born here. How do you all translate to what's going on now and Maui now? How does that translate?
I mean, I just look at it like it's just like everywhere. It's just evolving. We just evolve, and as far as like reggae music, I mean, I remember, growing up when there was no reggae scene here. Back when I was in like elementary school, like it was a big deal when Bob Marley came, Peter Tosh would come. It was like the very beginning of that era. And then at one time, like reggae music, like it does everywhere, it just got a hold, and the locals loved it, and the Hawaiian population really took to it, and it's just grown, and it evolved into Jawaian music, which became its own kind of own genre. But I don't know. I don't see Maui any different than anywhere else. It's just evolving. And then the more people that come here, the more artists that play here, the more tourists that come here, it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
Is the way I see it.
Well, people can go. The best site is at thewhitehawaiian.com, or which you also have your own personal
whitehawaiian.com.
But you also have Eric Gilliam, right?
I have Eric Gilliam. You can go there too, but whitehawaiian.com won't get you there.
Best site for you, Junior Dredd?
JuniorDredd.com.br from Brazil.
Oh, Junior Dredd. Is it slash or a hyphen?
.com.br.
Okay, JuniorDredd.com.br. And for you?
Yeah, EarthDanceGlobal.com.
EarthDanceGlobal.com. Mm-hmm. And for the big international peace thing that's going to be huge happening on, you said, the 17th of September.
September 17th.
Yeah. And where is that?
That is globally. So it's it's an international festival that happens all around the world on September 17th. And yeah, it's we'll talk to you all about it.
I'd love to, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, man.
There's a lot going on here, and I just am so glad. I love working with you, Eric. I just, you're amazing, and I'm so glad I got to hear about your personal experience. So, because, you talking about Burning Man is art in itself as well. It's kind of like art, just you talking about it. Cool. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Cool, man.